Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shotgun snap. Mariota fires a quick one. It is intercepted. Picked off at the 37-yard line. Taron Johnson comes up with the pick, and the Bills have another takeaway here in the first half.
First career interception for Taron Johnson. Rookie out of Weber State. Joining us, by the way, on our AT&T hotline.
Before we get to that, I want to mention the stat I teased the break. LeSean McCoy faces eight-man boxes 22% of the time. 8-plus 22% of the time, which is not exceedingly high nor exceedingly low. It's about in the middle.
I would have guessed higher than that.
No, not.
It's closer to 50%. We will talk a little bit about the Bills' defense. Taron with us on the AT&T hotline. Taron, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. Congratulations, belatedly, on your first interception.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you keep the ball?
Yeah. Actually, the trainers have it right now, so they're gonna ride on it and stuff.
Very nice. You got a place? You got a spot reserved for it? You know where it's gonna go?
Oh, most definitely.
You say they're gonna write on it. They're gonna write first career interception or something like that.
Yeah.
You gotta find somebody with good penmanship. I mean, what if they? You know, you can't read what they say. You gotta make sure it's a good one.
Most definitely.
That was a heck of a play. Talk a little bit about it, because it looked like, from our angle, it looked like Marcus Mariota threw the ball right to you. I mean, you must have read the play extremely well to be in the right position to make that pick.
I mean, yeah. I just kind of read the quarterback's eyes, and just that's based off of how our defense is supposed to be played. So I just read the quarterback's vision, and he had to throw the ball right where I broke.
It looks like... You know, you're probably going to laugh, but it sure looks like things are coming easily for you as a rookie in the National Football League. You look very comfortable out there. Is it that easy? How do you feel out there?
It's not easy. I would say it's just I feel like I've been around the defense for quite some time now, going back to OTAs. So, and I have a lot of good guys around me that are helping me play fast and just. Reassuring me that they can help me. So that's something definitely I lean on is the guys around me, and they're out there helping me make plays.
All right, so let's not use the word easy, but in terms of your transition to the NFL and really contributing right away as a rookie, have things gone a little quicker than you anticipated? Did you think it would be maybe a little bit more difficult, or it would take more time to get used to the NFL for you?
I wouldn't say that. When I came here, my goal was to be on the field and help the team. So I just wanted to work hard and do whatever I can to get on the field. And so far, it's been going pretty well for me, and I just want to continue to help the defense.
Listen, Taron, we're worried about you, okay? You're playing well. That's not the concern. But you really play a physical brand of football. You love getting involved, and I need you to be out there. So how do you approach that part of the game? You don't shy away from tackles, clearly, but you've been playing through some injuries, and you're probably still banged up at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like it's part of the game. But it's all good. That's just how I play. I feel like there's no other way to play football. So if I'm going to be out there, I'm going to be going 100 miles an hour, regardless of what's wrong for me, honestly. So that's just how I'm built, I feel like.
What about the challenges of playing in the slot, being the corner in there, as opposed to being outside? How is that something you did a lot in college anyway, or has this been a change for you?
This has definitely been a change for me. I haven't played that much. In college, I was mainly outside corner, but just playing inside. I mean, I've learned a lot about the nickel position, and I just want to master it the best I can to continue making plays.
What was the biggest challenge about moving inside for you?
Just basically, like, I'm more in the box. Like you said, it's a lot more physical position than an outside corner. I'm doing a lot more tackling. I'm in linebacker fit sometimes. So that's definitely probably the biggest challenge, being that I'm kind of smaller compared to other to the linebackers. So the guys I'm going in there tackling are most of the time a lot bigger than me.
Do you, you know, the defense overall, you guys got off to a rough start, and then, you know, it started changing towards the back end of the Chargers game, and now the last three games have been pretty good. What do you think is the reason why the defense has turned around and looked, well, the way people thought they were going to be, as good as people thought they could be these last three games now?
Well, I just feel like the coaches did a good job these last couple games, just simplifying it, just having the mentality that we're not going to put too much on our plate. We just want to play fast and play smart.
We're with Taron Johnson here on the AT&T Hotline. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, to step back from the day-to-day of the National Football League. You probably don't actually do this, Taron, but your story, you know, you got one scholarship offer coming out of high school. You end up going to Weber State, no offense to the FCS, and now you're here in the NFL. Do you ever get a chance to stop and think about the path you've taken and where you were and how you've come this far?
Oh, every day.
Okay.
I mean, every day I feel like it's a blessing. I'm thankful for every day I'm in this league. And, hopefully I'm here for a very long time. That's just my goal.
How were you able to do it? How were you able to pull it off? That's not an easy path to travel, you know, the way you went from high school to college and now to the pros in the draft.
I couldn't even really tell you. I just kind of, like, had it on my mind. Like, even in high school, my goal was to make the NFL. So, I mean, if going to Weber State is what I had to do, that's just what it was. I mean, I know it's not a big school like that, but they had all the tools that I needed to get to where I'm at today. So I'm thankful for them as well.
I was told your favorite sports memory is the Saints winning the Super Bowl. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Now, you're from Sacramento. Are you a Saints fan, though?
Yeah, so my dad is from New England, so he's a Saints fan, so that kind of rubbed off on me growing up. So that's just the story of why I'm a Saints fan. But, yeah, so I was a big, big Drew Brees guy.
Well, did you watch the game the other night when he set the record?
Yes, I did.
Do you have like a Brees jersey?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't.
All right. If you ever play against New Orleans, at least I know who you'll be looking for after the game.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to ask you about, I was reading up on your bio in the Bills Media Guide, all right? And one of the things you had to answer was your dream job outside of sports. And you said a designer. Designer of what?
I'm real into fashion, so I like clothes and stuff. So I'd say probably of some type of clothes. I really like that type of thing.
Okay. Do you pride yourself as one of the best dressed guys on the team?
I try to. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of guys out here that take pride in that, though. So I'm trying to get on their level.
All right. If it wasn't you, who is the best dressed Buffalo Bill?
I like how Ray McLeod dresses.
Okay.
He's pretty swaggy out there. Like that's I like his style.
Right. At least you got someone to shoot for. Nice to see the rookies are contributing to this. Well, again, congratulations on the pick. And really, the season's gone so well for you. Congratulations. Stay healthy and play well the rest of the season.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Taron Johnson joining us, the rookie draft pick, fourth-round pick from Weber State, having a very strong first year for the Bills, among the young players on defense who are standing out so far.
Speaking of Drew Brees, did you know Drew Brees and Thurman are friends?
No.
Friends/they stay in touch?
Huh,
Thurman was on One Bills Live yesterday and was telling a story, I hope I get this exact right, that when Drew Brees was maybe in high school or in college, he met Thurman, and Thurman was his favorite player.
Oh, wow.
Or Thurman was his favorite running back. So, like, they met, and they stayed in touch.
Yeah.
And he's been in touch with Drew Brees ever since. So
that's cool.
Imagine meeting a kid in whatever, high school or college, and then he goes on to become the all-time leading passer. So, you ever meet Thurman or to talk to Thurman, ask him all about Drew Brees.
Wow. I mean...
Not if you meet Thurman. You've met Thurman, of course.
I still think about what if, like, thankfully, like, he doesn't end up in Miami. You know, like, if he ended up with the Dolphins... I'm assuming Drew Brees would still be Drew Brees, that he would have had, you know, put up the numbers and had the success. Do the Dolphins win a Super Bowl? You know, he goes to New Orleans. He goes to a franchise that really, for most of its NFL history, was a laughingstock franchise.
Sure.
A lot of failure.
It's no coincidence, right? What were the Patriots before Tom Brady?
Right.
I mean, they had a Bledsoe run.
They made the Super Bowl, but they were the bottom of the barrel in this division.
What were the Colts before Peyton Manning? Uh-huh. You know, like, that's how it goes with a lot of these things. Guys like that get stadiums built. Matt Ryan, what were the Falcons before Matt Ryan?
Well, look at the Bills post-Kelly, look at the Dolphins post-Marino. Both these franchises have been searching for a quarterback for 20 years.
Right, the value of these guys.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that...
Imagine him in the division with Brady at the same time.
Right. I mean, if Josh Allen turns into something, it's one of the reasons that when you draft one of these guys, you know, the whole, can you win, should they take him out if they think he's hurting their ability to win... Man, every single minute of every single day should be dedicated to making sure that kid is as good as he can possibly be. And I bet there are some coaches that think he should come out, he should play through it. But, you know, if Sean McDermott is doing it not because he thinks it'll help him, but because he thinks we need to win games while helping him, you know, that would probably rub some fans the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it is it's all about helping that quarterback.
Right. And that's why I think we'll get to calls here in a second, 803-0550. Matt, hang on, I'll be right with you. That's why I think the discussion of the philosophy of the offense is really, I'm really interested. I wish I could be in the room. I'd love to be in the room with Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll and David Culley, maybe the entire offensive staff, when they're trying to figure out. And maybe it's still game plan specific. Maybe against Tennessee they felt the best thing to do was to have a run-heavy offense. I would love to find out if they think it is more important right now with the struggles they saw from Josh in Green Bay. You know, are they now thinking it's less about developing the quarterback, it's more about keeping it simple but also trying to win football games. We're not going to ask Josh to do too much. We're really going to dial this down. Maybe they think they put too much on his plate. I don't know. But I wonder what Brian Daboll is thinking in terms of game plan. Are they nervous about their quarterback? When they're putting together the game plan each week, are they nervous about their quarterback and thinking, well, we have to run the ball? Not because we believe that's what the opponent is not good at stopping, but we have to run the ball because we're worried about our quarterback. He's missing open receivers. He's slow to diagnose plays. He shouldn't be in there in the first place, but we have no choice. So now we have to tailor a different game plan to try and make sure we don't lose football games while the quarterback is trying to figure out what the heck is going on the field. Let's get to Matt in Orchard Park next. Matt, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, you guys brought up some very valid points there. I completely agree that Josh Allen is struggling a little bit in his rookie year, and that's to be expected in his rookie year. To start Derek Anderson over Josh Allen, I'm not sure if that's a wise move at this point. You know, I think everyone learns a little bit differently. Josh Allen could very well be someone that learns by doing, and he's learning by trial and error. Maybe that's what suits him best. You know, but with that being said, Josh Allen is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL right now. You know, you don't want to get him hurt. So we'll see how bad it turns out, but I see progression from Josh Allen, as long as he keeps progressing and learning by experience, by doing, we should be good.
I think the numbers have to get better, though. You know, like for me, off the Green Bay game just kind of, you know, it just blew up. It was awful. So my bar was set so low last week against Tennessee. The bar was, okay, just don't look lost. You know, come out and don't look nervous. And don't look like you have no idea what's going on around there. Okay, so he came out and he looked better. He looked a little bit more calm. But he also threw 10 of 19 for 82 yards. So the bar's got to go up now against the Houston Texans. You can't throw for 82 yards. Okay, you bounced back from Green Bay. You didn't snowball against Tennessee. You didn't throw four picks and look really jumpy and nervous. You know, you had your wits about you a little bit. But you still only completed 10 passes. You missed some open targets. You threw for 82 yards. The bar's got to go up again for Houston. So, you know, with Josh Allen, I'm all for playing him every week. I would play him and let him play through this rather than start Derek Anderson. But the bar's got to keep moving. It can no longer be every week just look calm. It was for me because of how bad Green Bay was. Now I need him to, you know, make plays again, connect with receivers, you know, throw for Can you get to 150? Can you get to 200 yards? I need to see him produce a little bit more in the passing game, and I will be willing to live with the mistakes. Now, granted, I'm not the coach. I don't get fired if this team doesn't do well, but I think it is important for him to be out on the field and learning to play the game and throwing the ball and not, you know, putting the harnesses on the offense and going 45 runs, 15 passes. I don't know that that develops Josh Allen. I think you got to be able to live with some mistakes that this young kid is going to make, and Derek Anderson does nothing for me. I mean, if Anderson eventually starts, I'm going to watch games wondering when Allen's getting back in.
Have you heard anyone say that they think it's a good idea to bring Allen out?
Well, John Clayton.
Right. John Clayton thinks it should happen.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be the only guy so far.
You know, John Clayton.
I'm sure there are others.
Gives a good national perspective. Sometimes we'll listen to him and wonder if he's, you know, is he possibly as up on the Bills as everybody else? But you know, if Clayton says it, it might mean that other GMs are suggesting it. Other coaches are thinking, yeah, they might get him out of there soon. He's leaving too many plays on the field. The reason I ask is because I had a tweet that says no one except WGR thinks it's a good idea, and I just haven't heard anybody say I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just talking about the fact that it very well could happen, and it would fit a lot of what McDermott says. McDermott does believe you can ruin a guy. McDermott did it last year in the interest of winning a game over the guy that had the job. So, and they believe in long-term and process, and they drafted the kid that everybody agreed needed the most time. So I haven't heard anybody say they think it's a good idea, but I'm just... I don't know. I think a lot of people are making smart connections that it very well could happen. Put it this way. Let's say it a different way. Allen has to play well enough to keep the job.
Right.
Before, all he had to do was be better than Nathan Peterman. He had to throw 6 picks. I mean, whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
He had to be worse than Peterman to come out, and now he's got to be at a certain baseline to hold off another quarterback who has played, like, very sparingly, but I guess, what, at 35 years old? Is that Anderson's 34 or 35? He's got to keep a guy off his back.
There's two reasons why Josh Allen might not play, okay? Why they might go to Derek Anderson, at least two reasons in my mind. One is, think of the Green Bay game. If that's the norm, okay, if there are more games like that from Josh Allen, I think at some point Sean McDermott thinks if he's you know, getting sacked 5, 6, 7 times. He's turning the ball over. He looks jumpy in the pocket. He's creating problems. He's not standing in there and making throws. He's leaving the pocket too early. He's getting himself into sacks, into pressure. If that game happens more often, I think Sean McDermott would get to the point where he'd say, and maybe Brandon Bean too, that this is detrimental to the development of Josh Allen. Now, Tennessee was better than Green Bay. But at the end of the day, it was also 82 yards passing, so he has to get better from that. But yeah, if the Green Bay game keeps occurring, I could see the Bills saying, okay, we're no longer doing Josh Allen any good by having him out on the field. And the other thing is, what is, you know, Sean McDermott and again Brandon Bean, what do they always say? They're not into rebuilding. They're not wired that way. They're always thinking about wins. Wins, 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 wins and losses, wins. So if you are that guy and you think, my defense is playing well, you know, my running game's not that bad, and things are the one thing that's holding us back is the play of the quarterback. And you're Sean McDermott, and you think this team is good enough to win football games, but the quarterback is costing you those games, then yes, I could see him saying, you know what, let's get Josh out of there. He'll get the mental reps. He'll learn on the sideline. He'll hang around Derek Anderson, but I got to get Derek Anderson in there because I think we should be winning these football games.
Deshaun Watson this weekend, he says he expects to play. He's going to play. His words, he's going to play. So that's cool. Deshaun Watson's quarterback rating outside the pocket. I mean, he's got Lamar Miller. He's got DeAndre Hopkins first and foremost.
Will Fuller.
Sure. His quarterback rating outside the pocket is 111.
And Josh's was 5.
5.
Okay. So that's probably not
Watson
good.
Behind Rivers, Keenum, Newton, Trubisky, Flacco, Ryan, Watson, Cousins, C.J. Beathard, and Fitz. That's your top 8 or so. I'm looking at how many this are. That's one thing. The Bills had to do this against Mariota, and they did a nice job on this, keeping him in the pocket, mm-hmm. not letting Mariota beat him with their legs. And Watson is one of the best outside of the pocket. So if they keep contain and if Star Lotulelei and Kyle Williams can do the job up front, you've got Trey White on DeAndre Hopkins, probably, which is a great matchup.
I would think, but then you still got to worry about Fuller. And I forget, they got a rookie receiver,
Kiki Coutet.
Yeah. Apparently, he was injured, but he's looked good when he's been out there. So they're a deeper receiving threat, receiving group than Tennessee for sure. So you can't just say, hey, take Corey Davis out of the game, we'll be fine.
Right. They've got a very good receiving core and one of the best in the game in DeAndre Hopkins. But the mission is just like last week. Just like keep Mariota in the pocket. I mean, Mariota, the fear was more beating with his legs. Right. He's not a great thrower outside the pocket. At least not this year. He doesn't have a great rating. But Watson does. Watson can definitely beat them that way.
I had a stat. Maybe I can find it in the break. There was a stat about the number of hits he's taken this season. And because when he gets out of the pocket, he's been trying to keep plays alive. He's got a lot of sacks, too. I want to say he's been sacked maybe 18 times this season. And that's not just offensive line gets beat and you're tackling the quarterback. He tries to extend plays. He runs around. He tries to make plays himself. Here we go. Watson threw the Dallas game the other day. He's been sacked 18 times. He's been hit 55 times in five games. And there's a big discussion going on down there. Bill O'Brien was asked about it, about, would you tailor your offense differently because this guy's getting pounded? And part of it is Deshaun Watson himself is, I don't want to give up on plays. I always want to try and keep things alive. I want to make extra yardage. I want to do, I want to help this team when I get out of the pocket. In the meantime, the guy is getting absolutely pounded by opposing defenses, and he's limited yesterday because of the chest injury and was limited in practice. John and Kenmore, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my personal feeling is I think he's just he's a good backup. He's a better backup plan if Allen gets hurt, and then he's there to kind of coach him along and maybe review tape, go over things with him, maybe show him some things he missed. And that's what I think really Anderson's there for, not to pull Allen. And maybe Allen has an injury we don't know about, or maybe there's something that from being sacked so much that maybe they really want a better backup and not put Peterman in, is my thought.
I think there's two things. They do want him to mentor Josh Allen. I think that is first and foremost.
Right. Let me make another thing clear. By saying all this is a potential route that they could go down, what they want to happen is Allen to have a great game this week and next week and the next, and then Derek Anderson can get tons of credit, maybe deserved, for helping Allen progress. And this is not they signed Derek Anderson in hopes of starting him.
Right.
It's now a possibility that didn't exist before. And if things don't turn around for Allen and you don't see progress and you feel like the offense is limited because of him, then the possibility exists. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to give Allen every opportunity to succeed and every opportunity to progress.
I think that, you make this move because you're worried about Josh Allen, whether it's you're worried that this will do that you're slowing his development, hurting his development, and he needs a mentor, or if you're worried that you get to the point where, look, we're going to have to get him out. He's just not ready. You needed a better option than Nathan Peterman. So I think those are pretty much the two reasons. I believe they do want him to be there. Sure, the coaches are there. But, Derek Anderson's played in the league. He's got 14 years. He's got, I think it's 47 starts. He's seen all these defenses. And he can help Josh Allen with that aspect. And also, again, like I said, so that's the main reason. Oh, by the way, if it gets worse and they feel Allen needs to just come out for a week, for a month, whatever, then you have a better option at quarterback who could possibly win you football games as opposed to Nathan Peterman going in and playing with this team.
When we get back, we've got Marty Baron. Sabres are home tonight.
He is excited. He wants to talk about Carter Hutton.
Good. Yes. We talked to Carter Hutton yesterday. Also, when we get back, we've talked about advertisements creeping in on everything, whether it's on jerseys or on the ice or on the base in Major League Baseball. Perhaps one of the most sacred landmarks turned into an advertisement. That's next.
We have a win cash code for you as well. Text the word VOTE right now to 72881. Your chance to win $1,000. You have until 8 o'clock to text the word in. Message and data rates may apply. Again, VOTE, VOTE. Text that to 72881 for your chance to win the $1,000. Another cash code word, coming up at 8:25 and again at 9:25 as we play the National Win Cash Contest on WGR.
It's time. time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Marty Biron joins Howard and Jeremy. Marty Biron's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belch, your power of attorney, by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Marty Biron, in just a moment, your sports headlines. Sabres play tonight against the Colorado Avalanche, a 7 o'clock faceoff from KeyBank Center. Dylan Strome scored, breaking Arizona's goalless drought. Mm-hmm. They hadn't scored in 122 minutes. It scored on a power play. They got their first win. The Sabres play Arizona on Saturday to start that Western Conference trip. But for the Sabres, Bogosian and Sobotka returning to practice yesterday. Washington beat Vegas 5-2. Ovi had two goals. Philly beats Ottawa 7-4. 5-point night for Voracek. And for the Bills, Sean McDermott says he doesn't want to get into specifics on a LeSean McCoy trade rumor. He's an important part of the team, valuable piece of the team. Leave it at that. Derek Anderson in with the Bills, going through practice. And on the injury report, Micah Hyde, Raphael Bush, not a surprise. They were limited. So was Trey White with an ankle. So we'll keep an eye on that for the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson says he's playing, as does Lamar Miller. Tonight, the Eagles and Giants, Thursday Night Football. And I tease going to the break. We can ask Marty about this. The iconic landmark turned into an advertisement.
The Washington Monument.
Close. The Sydney Opera House.
Oh, no kidding, really? Yeah.
Turned into an advertisement for gambling.
Man. Oh, that's not, no.
I'm telling you.
No, come on. That's just not right.
Someone texted
I'm
in.
Sorry.
Someone guessed, is it Touchdown Jesus that's been turned? Like, yeah, put an ad on Touchdown Jesus. Or, like,
no.
The Sydney Opera House. Into an advertisement.
That'd be like putting an advertisement on the side of the Washington Monument.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no, just let's, come on, no.
Right,
please.
Like just a big Geico up.
Yeah, right, just write it up and down. Like,
they've probably tried.
Monitor, turn your head sideways and go, what's it for? Oh, okay, sure. Eat at such Capital Grill restaurant. Okay, got it.
Marty Biron on the AT&T hotline. Marty, you ever been to Australia?
No, I would love to go to Australia. Never been to Australia, but when you said an iconic monument, somehow I had in mind like the George Washington Bridge. I know it's not an iconic monument, but there's so many people that drive by it or on it every day that wouldn't that be the perfect place to advertise?
Yeah, any place in New York.
You're stuck in traffic a lot, so you'd certainly read it.
Yeah, right, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Bridge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have plenty of those. You should start wearing ads on your suits on the telecasts.
Yes, but I'm going to have to agree on the ads with Brian Duff so he can have one part of it. I can have the other part. That means we have to call each other the day of the game to make sure we wear the right suit. It's just going to be way too complicated.
All right, forget it. I just thought it might be a nice little way to make extra money.
You know, with digital stuff on TV now, they can just put an ad on top of our suit and
we won't even
know.
That's right, yeah. That's like they do on the glass, you know, on the glass behind
glass
the nets.
Or
sure.
By the home plate at the baseball game. It's usually a green screen, right, at this time of year, and they do whatever they want with it.
So, Marty, a winning streak for the Sabres, over 500, and they put it on the line tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. What about the Sabres so far this season has you the most excited or encouraged through three games?
Well, I mean, it's easy to look at Carter Hutton, right? Because without him, I don't know that we get a win. I think without Carter Hutton, we probably look at maybe even just getting a point out of the Rangers game. I think maybe we win against maybe they beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights because I think they played a much better game than Vegas, and that's it. But without Carter Hutton, we're not looking at being over 500. We're not looking at, you know, waiting until game three to get the first win. So I'm encouraged by how he's played, the details in his game, the key saves at key moments. So that's an easy one. I would say the other one I'm excited about and really encouraged with is Connor Sherry. And the fact that Phil realized in game one that Skinner on Eichel's line was not exactly the way that he thought it was going to be, especially if faced against one of the top lines in the National Hockey League. So he changed Skinner and Sherry, and it really worked. Jack Eichel is the best player on the team. So if Jack Eichel starts looking to make plays to Jeff Skinner and is always looking, where's Skinner? I got to give him the puck. That's not good because the puck should be on Jack's stick. The puck should be where Jack can score. If he's in the slot, just let her rip and you know, put her on net. So with Connor Sherry, no disrespect to him, but Jack is not looking for Connor Sherry. He's looking for Connor Sherry to make plays to him. And that is the key to that line right now is Reinhardt's going to be in front of the net. He'll tap in rebounds or deflections. Sherry's going to work and go for rebounds as well, but Jack Eichel's the one that's going to generate the offense, and that really is the one change. So I hadn't seen Sherry in training camp, right, because he didn't play any preseason games, so I'm really encouraged by that.
Marty, I want to 803-0550, by the way, if you got a question for Marty. I want to take you back to Carter Hutton, and I need a former goalie to describe what you like about him, because I watch him. Clearly, you can see, first off, he brings passing. You know, he brings the element of being able to break a play out of the zone with some really good passing, but he looks so just very calm, very smooth. He's not fighting the puck. There just seems to be a relaxed flow to his game, so to speak, but you're a goalie, so put it into better terms.
Well, I had a chance to talk to him yesterday, and I asked him about how he reads the play. They talk about hockey sense, hockey IQ, and it's very easy for a player to see who's got hockey sense. When the open man is open, if you have to just dump it in the zone instead of trying to carry it in, this is easy things to see. But for a goalie, reading the play is all about getting to the next location before the play even gets there and not cheating. And there's a fine line between cheating and reading the play. And you look at Carter Hutton, yes, he made the save on the 3-on-0, which is kind of, you get lucky or the other team kind of messes up their execution and you can make a wonderful save. But every other save that he's made, whenever there's a shot, he always seems to be in the shot lane, set, ready to go. He's not there late. He's not moving to the shot lane or moving to the location as the shot is being taken. And then what happens is when you're moving to the location, it usually opens you up. And then because you're not set, you have to spread open. You have to open your arm. You have to open your leg. And then pucks start going through you. No disrespect to Robin, but that was the thing that we saw a lot with Robin Leonard the last few years is his lateral movements were not we're not all that fast. And he used his size a lot. So if he was late on the pass, then you saw him open it up, and then pucks were going through him. With Carter Hutton, he reads the play really well, and he's not 6'4", 6'5". Listen, he has to make sure that to use his size and to be able to fill the net, he has to be in the perfect position to make the save. But the way he reads the play is just so good. A routine save makes me giggle up in the studio or on the 200 level, because I'm like, look at how easy it was for him to be able to get across and get in the position. So that's really nice to see.
Marty with us here. Marty Braun, AT&T Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. Ron in Alden, you're on with Marty here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Oh, the media mogul. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Ron.
Quick question. So I'm watching Casey Nelson struggle. Ballou has been a surprise, but he's still going to be Ballou in the end. I would rather see a Pailou and Gouley up here, just like they're doing Casey Mittelstadt. And I don't believe in, if they're not playing enough minutes. I think they should be up here. I think that they're younger. They should all grow together. I just don't know if the advantage in the minors is as much as people say it is. I know the AHL is good hockey, but I just think those two players should be up here. And maybe a few others, too. I think, Thompson's been struggling, but they're going to play through it. Nylander never should have gone down. What, in your take, and I know you've been there, so what is your take? Do you think the AHL really is a good proving ground first, or do you think the NHL would be a better place for them? And I'll hang up and listen.
Great question. I do think that the AHL is a very beneficial place for a lot of players, but it has to be the right place. And I think you look at Pilot right now. I mean, a golden assist last night. He's performed really well in Rochester, so it's a good place for him to be. Brendan Gouley, Yale will be a good place for him to be as well. Now, Nylander is a different story. I think Nylander has struggled in the AHL, and I think he's done better when playing for the Sabres. So maybe there's a quick call-up for Nylander down the road so that he doesn't lose that NHL feel. But that will come with maybe some injuries or, guys nursing a little boo-boos here and there. As far as Casey Nelson, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't see really Casey Nelson struggling. Casey Nelson defensively has been really good. I think Phil Housley and the coaching staff really like Casey Nelson and what he brings. He's a very much of a, we joked about it yesterday, but he's a Jay McKee type of player, but not as flashy with the block shots that Jay McKee was. Very simple, off the glass and out, maybe a good first pass. When he has the puck in the offensive zone, you can't expect great things to happen. He'll get it down the wall, put it in the corner. His shots really make it to the net, but that's not what he's on the ice for. What he's on the ice for is, you know, is sound defensive plays, killing penalties, and not be flashy and be a good sixth defenseman. So I think the coaching staff really likes him. I've not seen him struggle all that much. I think he's done fine. So I wouldn't be rushing Gouley or Pilot up at any point right now, especially since Bogosian's been skating again. Maybe we'll see Bogo in the near future, which would be really nice as well.
Marty, since... Oh, okay. We will look forward to chatting with you again next Thursday, and I'll look for the advertising on the telecast.
You know what? You guys got to give me 30 seconds to ask Jeremy a fantasy football question.
Uh-oh. All right, I'm into it.
My league is completely screwing me over. So I have Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and I'm really lacking a quarterback. So I offered somebody Aaron Rodgers for Jones, the quarterback in Green Bay. I think he's going to be spectacular. And the league vetoed the trade. They're all mad because they think it's not a fair trade.
Wait.
I'm like, I just don't see it.
Who are you trying to get? Aaron Jones? The running
Aaron
back?
Aaron Jones, yes.
Why would they veto that trade?
Exactly. Why would they veto that trade? I don't need Rodgers. I have Mahomes, and mm-hmm. I need running backs. If they want Rodgers, then make a better offer. But if they don't, then let it be, right?
Right. Is it a dynasty league or just 1 year?
It's 1 year, but you do have a keeper. So I know next year's keeper for me will be Mahomes. So, but still, like I'm trying to get myself in the playoffs, and I need running back.
Collusion, Marty. That's
collusion,
what it is.
That's the way
that's
I call
right.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're out to get
you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
File a protest.
I'll have no choice but to agree to the trade next week when I make it again.
Right. Exactly.
Can't you appeal it?
Sure.
Isn't there an appeal process or something you could do?
Yeah, it's I sit around a few beers on Saturday night and appeal. That's what it's called.
Offer him a couple Saber tickets, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that would be good too. I think maybe
bribery.
Maybe I'll have to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, it's bribery. So, all right,
bribery. Yes.
All right. Thanks, Marty. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, guys.
Marty Baron joining us on the AT&T Hotline. He's with us every Thursday at 7:30, and brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
A lot of Amerks mentioned there. Brayton is at all the games. Brayton played last night, yes, and got a win. So
they did.
Any names that, whether it's Pilot or Gouley, 30 seconds on an Amerks report for us.
I think that that Pilot is the real deal. Just the way that he moves the puck is really good to see. He's probably the second best passer in the Sabres organization, wow, right behind Rasmus Dahlin.
Wow.
And he finds a way to get the puck to the net. He scored yesterday by just throwing a wrist shot in, and it finds the top corner. And Olofsson scored. Victor Golovson.
I saw that. Did you see that goal?
Victor Golovson?
Golovson.
I love that.
He did score.
I
and
love
it was
that.
A nice shot.
Yeah.
It
was their best effort so far to date. I mean, they've only played three games, but still, the two games that they played against Charlotte, they just came out trying to do too much, and then this game, they just stick to the basics, and they were able to get a big win.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Very good. Thank you. All right, Wine or Line call today coming up in a moment. 803-0550 to join us.
You got a wine?
Yeah, I think so.
I do, too. There's a contender for the new worst banner in sports.
Hey, Jeremy, you just announced that the next Sabres game is Saturday. If you weren't so busy discussing TV shows, music trivia, get your head out of your butt. You know that it's not Saturday, it's Thursday.
I missed music trivia. Was it anything I could have gotten?
I don't know. When would I have said the next game is Saturday? They play Arizona on Saturday in the first game of their road trip.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway,
I got a quick wine on baseball. Hey, Alex Cora, what are you doing? He announced that David Price is going to start game two of the ALCS. David Price should never start another playoff game ever. He's never won a playoff start. Stat of the day, David Price is 0-9 as a starting pitcher in the postseason. His teams have lost all 10 of his career playoff starts. It is the longest such skid in postseason history. He got through five outs in Game 2 against the Yankees. The one game, by the way, that the Red Sox lost in the previous series against the New York Yankees. David Price should never be in another playoff game. Please start somebody else. Start Jeremy in Game 2. How's your curveball?
Bad.
Fastball?
Equally bad.
Slider?
Same badness.
Change up? Anything?
No. That's the best.
Change
That's
up.
The best one.
Right, you'll keep him off guard. It's all right. That's
I
fine.
Can throw it slower.
Okay, so
then,
good.
Yeah. All right, my wine. You may have heard about this. The Nashville Predators maybe have the newest bad banner. You know, the Colts have AFC finalist. That's pretty lame. You've got Central Florida just claiming they're the national champion.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, the Predators opened up at home, and they hung three banners in their opener. Right? Let's see if you can get the three banners
okay,
that they hung.
They won their division.
Yes.
They... President Trophy?
Yes.
Okay. Best dressed?
Regular season Western Conference champions.
Meaning they had the highest point total in the West.
Right.
Nobody hangs that banner. You
no.
have to actually win the conference in the postseason to put up a Western Conference champion
no,
banner.
No, they have a regular season Western Conference champion banner.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Dallas has one of those, too.
Oh.
The Stars?
Yeah, the
really?
Stars have one for their 99.
Regular season conference champion.
Yep.
We don't have we don't hang that stuff, right? We don't have one of those.
No,
like,
no.
We have division championships.
Division championship.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you win a conference, it's because you won the playoff.
Right. And
right.
President's Trophy.
Sure, everybody puts
right.
up a President's
there
Trophy.
There is
banner.
No trophy for Western Conference regular season champion.
That's funny.
In order to hang a banner, I think there needs to be a trophy. There is a Western Conference champion trophy.
Sure.
There is a President's Trophy, isn't it the President's Cup or whatever?
Yeah, there's a cup,
President's
there's a
trophy, whatever.
There's an Eastern Conference. That's you know, do they touch the trophy after they win the conference
sure.
round of the playoffs?
You can't hang a banner unless there's
yeah.
a trophy.
Western Conference regular, and you know what? The Preds they're getting banners. It's not like they're desperate for banners, right? They've got a few up there probably.
I still think the Colts one is way worse.
What was AFC that? That's because they lost
again,
the AFC Championship.
If you don't get a trophy,
yeah.
you can't hang a banner, and
right.
you don't get a trophy for being the AFC finalist.
And
right.
the Colts don't. The Colts have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they don't need to hang.
They don't need to
two.
Hang. Actually, yeah. Do they have banners
does
from
Baltimore
the,
get to take that with them?
Although, yeah, who does Indianapolis have the old Baltimore Colts stuff? But anyway, they
who
would
knows?
Have won one in Indianapolis. Then they won a gazillion division titles with Peyton Manning. I think you put up a banner like that if you're desperate. Like if you have no banners and you're like, what do we put up?
Right.
Hey,
this
you know
is,
what? We were the best team in the West in the regular season.
But this is on a day where Nashville already hangs two other ones.
Yeah, there was no and one of them was the President's Trophy. Which meant you were the best team in the regular season. So the Western Conference, if you're putting up a President's Trophy, by the way, of course you were best in the Western Conference in the regular season. You what? Yeah, it seems kind of silly.
I got a wine real
hold
quick.
On real quick. The Texter's pointing out the Sabres have the Wales banner from 1980, but isn't that winning a division, winning a conference?
Well, the Wales would have been, but they didn't make it to the Cup Final, though, in 1980.
No.
So maybe they do have a banner that
they do, huh?
So they lost, because they would have lost to the Islanders, I think. In the playoffs that year, I think.
So we're looking at the 1980. The Prince of Wales, is there a trophy for that, though?
But they
do you win
have...
it for the regular season? No, it's for the champions, the playoff champions.
Yeah, I don't. Do we? They have a banner that says it's up there because they would have made the conference final that year?
Hmm.
Okay, in 1980, they are the regular season champion.
Okay, well, that's silly. You don't need to have that banner up there.
They also have one for 74-75. If they have two regular season champions.
But 74-75, they made the cup final.
Right.
So they would have won the conference getting to the cup final, right? 80, they didn't win the conference.
Is this because, I'm sorry, this is before I'm alive, were there playoffs from the Wales conference, or did the regular season champ get into the playoffs?
I'm trying to think of the structure then.
Because the way the Wikipedia lays it out, somebody calls and tell, you're supposed to know this.
I should know this.
I wasn't alive.
1975.
From 1974 to 1981... there's a Wales regular season champion.
Oh,
and in 1981, it stars Wales conference playoff champions.
Okay.
So in 1979-80, the way that it looks like it works, and I'm so sorry, the Prince of Wales conference, they win the Adams division, they win the regular season, and then, I don't know.
If they won a trophy with it, then
if
sure.
it came with a trophy, you can there you go. If it came with a trophy, you can hang a banner.
Right. If you're making it up on your own, then you can't hang the banner.
Exactly. Like
the Nashville Capitals have a 2009-10 Eastern Conference champion. Okay, here's the answer.
And they didn't make it to
It used to be 1-16, 2-15 in the playoffs back then.
Okay.
So you didn't have a Wales Conference playoffs. You had you had the regular season.
I'm looking at the 1980 bracket. And, one played 16. Philly played Edmonton in the first round of the playoffs. Buffalo played Vancouver, 2-15.
Okay, worth a banner. Fine. You were the number one seed. You won the Eastern Conference.
But they weren't.
They weren't?
They were. I'm sorry, that's right. Philadelphia was the Clarence Campbell Conference regular season champions, and the Sabres were Prince of Wales Conference regular season champions. So apparently they must have honored that stuff back then.
Okay.
Trusting Wikipedia. Here,
I'm going to stick by it.
If you
can't hang a banner unless you get a trophy.
Yeah. Did they get a trophy that year for the Prince of Wales Conference regular season champions? I assume they did.
I don't know.
Okay.
There aren't a lot of banners up there.
What's your wine?
My wine will be very quick. So I get the push notifications from WBEN and oftentimes get traffic updates. And there was a traffic update for an accident on 219. I take 219 all the time to get home.
Yeah.
And, it's the second or third accident in as many days on that same stretch. Hey, can somebody just get that fixed already before the snow, especially? Because if the second it starts snowing and we have a super major storm, that's going to be a disaster.
What are we getting fixed?
I guess they're doing stuff with the road or the bridge or something like that at that part of it. I don't know what they're doing, but they're taking forever to get it done. And the traffic's awful when when people go through there, whether it's in the afternoon or in the morning. Just get it fixed.
As long as you're doing the get it fixed thing, can you fix the thruway on the way to the stadium so game day drives aren't that bad? You know, before the 219, after the 400.
That's exactly where I'm talking about.
I thought you were on the 219 you were talking about.
No. The 219-90 merger there.
Oh,
right there.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's
fix
really,
it.
It's making,
get it done.
It's making commutes on football Sundays less enjoyable.
There was construction last year where they had overnight workers and everything like that on the 219 that was in the 90. Wow. It was on the 219.
Okay.
They had people overnight. This construction's not getting any overnight work done to it at all. Get some people overnight. Get it done.
Yeah, you can sleep at 9 a.m.
This is the maddest I've ever heard.
I've never heard him get this
He's
upset.
Doing a lot of driving these days, though.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
It is WGR Buffalo, since we've kind of blown through the break. Sorry, boss. Here are your headlines. Sean McDermott declines to get into specifics on the LeSean McCoy trade rumors. We'll actually talk Bills with Sal in a moment. Derek Anderson went through his first practice yesterday. Sal will give us the injury update. Football tonight, Philly and the Giants. Hockey tonight, Sabres and Colorado. 7 o'clock faceoff. We'll have it on WGR. Well, pretty much those are your headlines. Sal will join us with the latest on the Bills when we get back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.